You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Third and final hour now here upon us. Political Cesspool live radio broadcast. Last day of August. Saturday, August 31st, James Edwards Eddy. The Bombardier Miller now in with me for the third and final hour. Keith Alexander with me earlier in the program tonight, of course. And Peter Scoop Stanton calling in as well. It's been a fun show tonight. No guests tonight on the holiday weekend. But as you know, as we take the arrows from the orcs at the SPLC and the ADL and other anti-white, anti-Christian, anti-American organizations, and we worry about, fundraising drives, etc., there are still very real dangers above and beyond those that are somewhat trivial in comparison. Death threats. And I remember my first death threat as a result of my hosting this program back in 2005. It took them a few months to get to me. But as we began to catch on, I can remember my wife being very upset. I got an email in 2005, and the person who wrote it detailed when I would die, how I was going to die, et cetera, date, a time in the not-too-distant future after that email was received by me. And I called the police. I called the FBI. The FBI never came. They never called me back. The police finally came and took a report, and I never heard anything else after that. So really not much was done, but I got a gun. I already had a gun, but I got another gun. And that was, of course, I'm still here. So the threat wasn't real, as most of them aren't. But that was the first of many death threats we would receive. The studio here at the radio station has been threatened with bombs. If every threat we had come through and every bomb threat we had been real, there'd be enough. We wouldn't even have to worry about going to war with Syria, as Obama is wanting to do now. There'd be plenty of bombs to level Syria with. If you just took every bomb threat we've gotten and put those bombs into Syria, Syria would be flattened. Anyway, Eddie the Bombardier Miller got not just one, but several death threats from the same person here about a week ago. I posted an article to the Political Cesspool's website about Eddie's forthcoming constitution course at his church. And I got a couple of emails, and I didn't know at the time who they were from, but just people saying they couldn't wait to meet Eddie and so on and so forth. And it turned out to be from the same guy that was calling Eddie and issuing threats. And I heard these threats. I have never heard so much cussing in a single voicemail as I heard in the six death threat voicemails that Eddie received in, I think it was a 2-day period. And it was so graphic and so vulgar that it made even Eddie the Bombardier Miller, a Vietnam veteran, a combat medic, it made him want to go to the police to file a report. And that's where the plot thickens, ladies and gentlemen. So he had all these death threats. It was multiple graphic death threats. And we took him to the police a week and a half ago, Eddie? A week and a half ago. It was a week ago Thursday, so it was a week and a half ago. And we're still waiting for the police to do anything. Eddie, I'll let you rewind the clock to last Thursday. Paint the picture for the listeners. It's folks, we're telling you this story. We had at first thought we wouldn't share it with you on the radio because it's just another day in the life of your political cesspool hosts. But it just goes to show how impotent the police are, how apathetic they are, and how everyone needs a gun.
You got that right, James. and you can trace this police inactivity probably to what's an endemic situation in society now, James, because the welfare roads are so swollen. the tax revenues are so down that we really don't have enough police. And to stick up for the police, they are so overloaded now. Because I remember, I received another very, very serious death threat about 3 years ago. And not knowing who the death threat was coming from, I called the police. And there was 5 squad cars out in front of my house in just a matter of minutes. You don't see that anymore. But as far as I go, James, I'm like you. I, too, am armed to the teeth, more so than you. And probably unlike my little brother in arms over here, I can shoot a squirrel in the eye at 50 paces, no sweat. But I'm not an idiot. I'm not a complete idiot. I'm 66 years old, and I'm not going to go out and meet some clown in a parking lot and shoot it out. And I'll tell you why. There's nothing good can come out of it. If I kill somebody, then you know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to prison. I've had multiple handgun courses. I know what's happened to you. Now, back in Bloody Breathitt County, Kentucky, where my daddy was from, it would be no big deal. I mean, they kill each other up there all the time. All right. Now, if I don't kill the other person, the person kills me. And then I go to the graveyard, which that's no big deal. But you always risk going to the ICU. And being a registered nurse as I am, that's not a nice place. ICU is really horrible. I've been a patient in ICU. Matter of fact, before I started running marathons and doing all that kind of stuff, I was a patient with a heart condition. And I guarantee you, people, you never, ever, ever want to be a patient in ICU. It's more miserable than anything you can imagine. You can never get comfortable. But, we have had death threats here all along. A matter of fact, James, we got one from, I think, a member of the NRA some years ago. Remember, it was the day when I got kicked out of the congressional meeting with Marshall Blackburn. And some hot words were exchanged with some of the NRA people who were, as far as I'm concerned, the National Rifle Association is probably one of the best gun control organizations there is. I call them on their bluff and call Marsha Blackburn for she's supposed to be such a wonderful, congressional congresswoman, supposed to be a big supporter of the Constitution and a big supporter of the Second Amendment. But yet when I called her down on her rabid support for the United Nations, I asked her how could she square that away. That's what started this death threat. And I'm pretty sure I know who that was too. But the person, I called her down. I said, how can you synchronize your love for the United Nations and which is the largest gun control organization in the world? They vowed to totally disarm everybody in the entire world. And they haven't given that goal up yet. I think they might get it someday, but I thought they'd get it in our lifetime, James. I don't know if they get it in my lifetime now because I'm 66 years old. But yeah, death threats, I take every single one of them very serious. And then James doesn't take them as seriously as I do. But like I said, being a combat medic in Vietnam, being the color, the history I have, I came up in a really bad part of town. I never ever dismiss any death threats. Well, it looks like we're getting ready to go to a break, folks, so we'll be back in a minute. And we'll take off a little bit further on this.
We're going to give you all the details when we come back. Stay tuned.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby, Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, we're going to cut to the chase here about Eddie's recent death threat. So Eddie comes over to my house last Thursday, and he has 6 death threats left as voicemails on his cell phone over the course of a 2-day period. And I say, well, we better go ahead and just call it in to be safe. And I said, do you want to call in? We live in a white flight suburb of Bartlett here. I said, do you want to go to the Bartlett police, or do you want to do the county sheriff's department? And he says, well, let's do the county sheriff's because I believe they'll be a little more hard-nosed. I said, okay, let's call the county sheriff. And this is cutting to the chase. So we look up the county sheriff's main number here in Memphis, Tennessee, in downtown Memphis, the county sheriff's flagship station. We call him up. It rings off the hook and finally goes to a voicemail. I said, no, something's got to be wrong here. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to call him. I'm not going to look it up on the internet. I'm going to call information and get the number. Something's not right. So I call information, get the same number, call him back. It goes to voicemail. This is the sheriff's department of Memphis, Tennessee, of Shelby County, Tennessee, downtown Memphis. Goes to voicemail twice. I said, well, maybe they're working hard downtown today. Let's call the substation out here in our part of the county. Look their number up. Call them, and it rings for minutes on end, and there's no answer, and it doesn't even go to a voicemail. It just continues to ring. No one answers. No one's home. So I was like, well, hell, Eddie, I guess we're going to have to go to the local police because the sheriffs aren't home today. This was last Thursday. Wasn't a holiday. Wasn't nothing. You couldn't get them at the main office. You couldn't get them at the substation that services our part of the county. Either went to voicemail or rang with no answer, no answering machine. So we go to the Bartlett Police, which is our city's police department, because the threat came in from a person living in Bartlett. We get there, go through the ropes, and they say, well, we can't take your complaint, sir, because Eddie actually lives in Memphis. He lives on the Bartlett-Memphis line, and the threat came in from Bartlett. They said, because you live in Memphis, you have to go to the Memphis Police Department. And so we leave the Bartlett Police Station, even though the threat came in from Bartlett, and we go to the Memphis Station. We walk into the Memphis station. Now, keep in mind that already about 5 hours have passed from the time we started to try to call in this report until where we are now. We go into the Memphis Police Department. We are the only people in the building. It's just me, Eddie, and the cop at the desk. No one's there at this little substation for Memphis Police. We're there an hour and a half, if we're there a minute, for Eddie to file this report. They listened to all the death threats that were left on Eddie's answer machine. Took the report. Took about an hour and a half, but okay. It's been a six-hour ordeal, but at least we finally got the report filed. That was a week ago Thursday, so it's been about a week and a half now. Eddie talked to the police 2 days ago, and they said they had still not dropped by the man's house or called him to let him know that the report has been filed. So after we spent about 6 hours attempting to file a legitimate death threat report, and folks, I wish we could play the threats for you on the air. All you would hear, unfortunately, is a bunch of bleeped out words because it was so profane. I wish we could play it for you, but we can't because this is, you know, we're monitored by the, you know, we're sanctioned by the FCC here, but it takes 6 hours to file this report. We finally get it filed, and then a week and a half later, the police have not even lifted a finger to look into the incident. So if these multiple threats were legitimate, this man would have had a week and a half from the time Eddie filed the report and alarmed the police that his life was in jeopardy, according to this man, and today to do Eddie harm. And Eddie, you've called the police in the last week and a half, and what have they told you? This again, folks, the point we're trying to drive home is don't count on the government. Don't count on the police. They don't care, if this is any indication. You will have to protect yourself or die if it comes down to calling the police. I couldn't imagine service in Detroit, police service, being any worse than that. But you've called the police since we filed that hour and a half long report. What have they told you, Eddie?
And James, something I forgot to tell you. It went to the third police officer. Okay. The first police officer we filled the report with and spent, like you said, at least, bare minimum, an hour and a half. Well, I called the next day, try to get this. I won't mention the officer's name because we don't want to get sued, but she was not there. So I called the next day. She was not there. I called the other day. She said, well, who told you the case was passed on to me? I said, well, the officer that took the report. Well, this police officer said, well, I passed that report on to another officer. So I had to call this officer, James, a third officer. And he said, well, we're sure going to give that guy a call. We're going to, you know, we've got your report on file. And just in case something happens to you or one of your friends at the radio station or one of your family members, yeah, we'll have a chief suspect. And I said, well, that's really good. You know, I can say that, at my funeral. I'd like to, you know, to at least know y'all had a good suspect. But here's something else, James, I know tonight. I went by the store to get some adult beverages that we sometimes drink after the show. And I have never seen so many cops on Bartlett Boulevard. You know what they were doing? They were giving tickets out. That's all they do. And, you know, I've listened to Alex Jones about this, James. It's true. If you go cruise up and down I-40 now, where it goes into Sam Cooper Boulevard into Memphis, it's just saturated with cops. Absolutely saturated. And all they're doing is writing tickets. And my daughter, my eldest daughter, is good friends with the mayor. And he said he's given direct orders to the Memphis police to get out there and write those tickets because the city is hurting for tax money. So that's the whole thing. The police department, James, has become a tax revenue service. So if you want to protect yourself, you had better get you a firearm. And God forbid you have to shoot anybody. I've been toting since I was 18 years old, never fired a shot in anger, not even Vietnam. I was a medic. I didn't even carry a gun there, carried a medical pack. But James is absolutely right. You're going to have to protect yourself.
Eddie, you hit another pet peeve of mine. I've been the recipients of so many speeding tickets, and I'm talking about 44 and a 40 or seatbelt violations where they're peering into your window to see that you're not wearing a seatbelt, and I've gotten pulled over by cops. You go in and file a series of death threats. A week and a half later, they haven't turned a finger, but you go in to the grocery store tonight to make a purchase, and you see a platoon of cops sitting there, you know, writing speeding tickets and seatbelt violations. Folks, I mean, this you can't make up. Now, I'm sure if Eddie was Al Sharpton, he would have personal security as compliments of the county sheriff's department. Anyway, so this is where we're at. I can't over exaggerate to you the level of sincerity that I heard in that man's voice as he threatened Eddie's life. Now, obviously, if he was that sincere, Eddie would be dead by now. But how did we know it at the time when this was 24, 48 hours old that this guy was a blowhard? Maybe he's not a blowhard. Maybe he just hadn't got around to it yet. But if he hasn't, if he won't be deterred because of the police, a week and a half later, after 6 hours of trying to file a complaint, a week and a half later, the police have still, it's been shuffled around to three different detectives or sergeants or whomever, and they still haven't made contact with this guy to tell him that they're watching him. He better not have contact with Eddie Miller anymore. I guess, at the end of the day, I guess some guys just don't like the Constitution, right, Eddie? Because this all started happening right after we posted your Constitution class blurb on the cesspool site, which we mistakenly added your phone number to.
You know what? Another point, from where I turn off coming to James's house tonight before I got to the studio. Well, listen, looks like we're going to another commercial. I'll tell you how many cops I saw in 1 mile.
That's coming back after we take this break, folks. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, folks, so we're going to get off of Eddie's death threats now because, again, that's just another week in the life of the political cesspool hosting staff. But we wanted to bring this one to bear because it was so intense that we felt the need to file a report. And Eddie, there's no shortage of cops between our radio station and the local grocery store, is it?
Listen, in a stretch of about probably 7/10 of a mile, this is the truth. There was four police cars had people pulled over writing tickets. I go into the local shopping center to get our adult beverages for the celebration after the show and some ice cream. And there was two cops in the shopping center, James, writing tickets. I mean, it was just like a merry-go-round. It was like I could not believe it. I've never seen so many cops in my life. And this isn't just a one-night thing, James. This has been going on for, I'd say, 5 or 6 weeks here in Memphis. Like I said, on I-40, you just don't even think about speeding. And the sad part of it, like I was telling James, I've been pulled over twice before not speeding and given tickets for speeding. That's how hard up they are for revenue.
They are revenue collectors. They are tax collectors. It's a great source of revenue to whack people like me who's gotten, I don't know, maybe 10 speeding tickets in the how long have I been driving now? I'm 33, so that's about 17 years. I actually got two tickets in one day. So, but on average, about one a year, I guess, a little bit less than that. Seatbelt violations notwithstanding, but they can do that, and that does bring in money. Every time I get a speeding ticket, it's over $100 that I gotta pay the man. But you should have asked one of those people, one of those cops, writing the seatbelt tickets tonight at the grocery store, whether or not they've had a chance to look into your case yet, Eddie. And we got to move on. But, I mean, you know, do you think they have?
Well, you know, since there's no money involved in it, I doubt seriously, James, if they have. And once again, we have some good cops out there. Now, I've said before, though, in all honesty, I think I'd rather be stopped by the Crips and the Bloods than a Memphis cop. Because I've known some of them. Some of them are pretty vicious, James. We have some cop friends on our they're fans of this show. As a matter of fact, we've gone out, eating dinner with them, me and James and Keith and Henry. So there's some good cops. But they're under a tremendous amount of pressure now. I would not want to be a cop. I don't know why anybody would want to be a cop or a fireman, for that matter. I mean, they're just, you know, they're political hacks. They're pretty much just armed clerks to collect money.
Well, apparently it was your Constitution course, Eddie, that they got this guy so fired up. I guess not everybody in Memphis is a fan of the show, as hard as that is to believe, for those tuned in tonight. But this is something that I think you should address in your Constitution class, which is scheduled to begin in September. Obama's gearing up for war against Syria. Of course, you know, one of the big differences between Romney and McCain and Romney and Obama... Romney and McCain. One of the big differences between Obama and, well, they're all interchangeable, I guess, but one of the big differences between Obama and McCain and Romney and Bush, et cetera, is that Obama is a Democrat, so he's against these wars, right? Well, he's against them as long as Israel tells him it's okay. But when Israel tells him it's time to jump, Obama's going to ask them how high. And Obama's gearing up for war against Syria, war, if you can call it that. Even if he has to go it alone, Obama, America, gearing up for war against Syria. What did Syria ever do to you, Eddie? What did Syria do to you? Well, apparently they killed 1,300 people. Now, I know that that's worthy of dedicating more lives and limbs of American men in battle, because Syria killed 1,300 people, they say, with chemical gas. How many times in sub-Saharan Africa does that happen per day? Why aren't we in every sub-Saharan African country? If we're going to be the policemen of the world, by God, let's be in every country where there's genocide and where there's acts of violence like this. Now, whether or not it happened in Syria, God only knows. It probably didn't because the media said it did. But here's the story. President Obama on Thursday prepared for the possibility of launching unilateral American military action against Syria within days as Britain opted out in a stunning vote by Parliament. You know it's bad if you can't get them wimps in the UK to go along with it. They're just as beholden to Israel as we are. When they opt out, you know it's a bad, a tough road to hoe. But even before the vote in London, the United States was preparing to act without formal authorization from the United Nations. Now, that's something I want you to be sure to cover in your Constitution class, Eddie. As we all know, the United States cannot do anything without authorization from the United Nations, and we need to go to the United Nations for our permission to do certain things. Now, in this case, ironically, I guess, it's a good thing because this is another unconstitutional war. We haven't declared war since the Second World War. As Pat Buchanan said, that was an unnecessary war. I don't guess we've fought in a legitimate war. War of 1812, maybe?
Maybe 1812.
Maybe the War of 1812 was the last legitimate war Americans should have fought in. The War of Secession, the South should have been able to secede without any bloodshed. War of 1812 may be the last legitimate war America had its vital interest involved in. But all this other stuff, but see, again, now we don't even declare war through Congress or the United Nations as this story reads. This is an AP story. Everybody knows the United Nations has to sanction any action. If it was a legitimate war, America should never have to ask the United Nations for its approval. But in this case, of course, it is just another unconstitutional, irrelevant war for Israel. But so is that going to be in your Constitution class, Eddie, that we have to get authorization from the United Nations? And did you know that that was the case? Because that's the case, according to this story. We got to get it. Because... you know, that's one thing. The United Nations is stepping in the way of America's righteous action to go to war against Syria over the alleged gassing of 1,300 people. That's you know, even if it's true, what does that have to do with America whatsoever? Eddie, you're a combat vet. You are the only member. Well, Winston was in the Navy. Winston's a vet. The chief Art Frith was also in the Navy, but so we do have some vets on here. But you're the only one in the studio tonight, so you're the one that I go to for commentary on this. What did Syria ever do to you, Eddie?
Well, I was funny, man. You know what? I think they said my mama wears army boots. But I tell you what, I would like to know why we didn't go to the United Nations before we went in to kill all those people at Waco and Ruby Ridge. You know, the United States, we murdered God only knows how many of our own citizens in Waco. And we gassed them. We pumped gas in there. We set the place on fire. When I say we, I don't mean we, because I'm so embarrassed and ashamed of the United States now, of our government.
What do you think of the American flag?
I tell you what, I just can't stand it. I look at the American flag and I just get sick. As a matter of fact, when I get my Constitution class, it's going to be upside down, because you know what the upside down American flag stands for? It stands for distress. The United States is in distress. And I may get kicked out, but the Christian flag was going to be the only flag in my place. And, you know, because I know they won't let me wear fly the stars and bars and make it road to the high school, because that would be there. But our flag has become a joke, a laughing stock. It's just, people can talk about Nazi Germany all day long, but at least they took care of their own people. You know, and that's more the United States government can say. But, that's true. That's true, people. I mean, they were fighting for Ein Reich, Ein Volk, Ein Führer. You know, one country, one people, one leader. And that's the way it was there. But unfortunately, it's not the way it is here. Even Stalin, you know, Stalin would be envious of what's going on in this country right now. I mean, I almost have to Sieg Heil before I salute that stupid American flag. And you know what? And people, before you get too mad, before I get other death threats, I have not one but two honorable discharges from the United States military. Like an idiot. Before I knew what was going on, I signed up again for another tour of duty. My dad tried to warn me about it. I would never, ever do it again. And James, you mentioned the War of 1812. Old Hickory was in that battle. President Andrew Jackson.
We went to his grave with the same
We certainly did. Went to the grave of Sam Bushman, one of Sam Bushman's heroes, as well as one of our heroes. And we were, I know Sam would know this story, but I know we were battling the international banksters. And by the way, people, don't fool yourself. Every stinking war we've had for at least the past 500 years has been a banker's war. They're a banker's war. They bankrolled both sides of the countries. Even in our Second War of Independence, when Lincoln invaded the South, we had two different banks. We had one bank. They were both the same people of the Rothschild group. Incidentally, Rothschilds owned the Bank of England, and they own our central bank here, called the Federal Reserve. But they finance both sides. They don't care who wins, because they're going to whoever wins. They collect from the loser. And there's big money in financing tyrants and dictators and kings. But, you don't want to make the king too mad, because, when it comes time for the king to pay, he might just say, off with your head. But, the United Nations is a really sore point with me, James. They got that in. It looks like we're going to another break, folks. So we'll get back on this in just a minute.
There's never enough time, is there, Pappy? We're going to take a break. I appreciate the vigor with which and the enthusiasm with which you delivered that commentary. It came straight from the heart, folks. From a grizzled combat vet who put his life on the line for this country. We'll be back right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
One more time,
Well, folks, it's been another good show. We've got a segment remaining. Death threats this week. We kicked off the third quarter fundraising drive. Folks, please, please support our work as we move into a very important month. I guess they're all important as we continue to gain momentum and build steam and grow the audience. But with this opportunity that we have on this reality show, this documentary five-part series that I'm going to be a part of, it's going to open the door. It's going to open the show to a lot of people. You know, when you have the ability to reach millions of people, you take advantage of that opportunity because it's an opportunity that not many people know. And by me being on that show, a portion of those millions will come to learn about our work and will come to read more and to hear more and to listen, and they will stay on. Very big chance we have here, and I'm so thankful that because of your benevolence, we've been able to make it 9 years. That's how long it took for this opportunity to be bestowed upon us. Now, we're no strangers to national news or international news. We've done it. We've done it many times, and we've done it well, and it's been well documented, but this is a new one. Perhaps the biggest to date. We need your support. It's a big month. We need your support. Eddie, death threats. It's been a big week, big show, exciting week, holiday weekend. So we don't have any guests tonight. We could have, but we wanted to give them a break. But we're still here. Hey, hey, that's another thing, folks. It's a holiday weekend. It's Labor Day weekend. And where are we? Are we on vacation? We're right here. We're live in the studio tonight on a Saturday evening on Labor Day weekend. We didn't go out of town. Sam Bushman, live Monday. Listen to this, folks. Sam Bushman of the Liberty Roundtable. He's going to be live on Labor Day, live Monday. That's what you get here with the Liberty News Radio Network and the Political Cesspool Radio Program. We stay lit for you. Half of our audience is probably on the beach tonight, but we're here. And we will always be here. But we need you to be here with us. So, you know, I want to get back to Eddie and the flag because that's what, he got me pumping my fist. I literally was pumping my fist at that because Eddie has earned the right to criticize that flag as if any of us native-born Southerners didn't as a result of the war that the United States launched against the South, my ancestors. I think we all have the right to criticize it. But Eddie, not only was he a native Southerner, he actually served and fought underneath that banner. If anyone's earned the right to criticize it on this staff, it's Eddie, it's Winston, it's Art Frith. And I really enjoy it when he does because it's well-deserved, number one, that flag be criticized. Not that we don't love this country. We love this country more than most. That's why we do this show. We love our people. We love our nation. I guess that's the appropriate term. We love this nation. A nation is a group of people. A country is just a plot of land. I love my nation. There you go. That's what I meant to say. But sometimes they are interchangeable. And they should be interchangeable. In a healthy society, a nation and a country would be the same thing. It would be the country would be a result of the blood and soil presented by the nation. Anyway, Eddie, war against Syria. Would you fight in this war against Syria?
Listen, I told my grandson several years ago, he's a freshman at the university here in Memphis now. I told him when he was about 15, 16, he was talking about going in the Army. I said, I'll tell you what, if you do that, you're going to have to beat my tail. I said, I don't think you can do it. I said, but if you can, I got some other good old boys that can help me. You are not going to go in the Army and be cannon fodder for a country that despises you. Let me tell you what, people. The people in Washington, D.C., the movers and shakers that fly that flag now, they hate white Southerners' guts with a passion. They hate Christians. You know, me and James and Sam were talking about that on the break earlier. If you're, like Sam said, if you're white and you're Christian, and for God's sake you're heterosexual, and God forbid you're married and got kids, and raising your own kids, and you don't want to take any guff from the government. You want to pay their own school. You want to pay their own medical care. Well, by this government now that's flying this flag, you're considered a terrorist, a homophobe. You're the scum of the earth. You know, that flag, and you know, I'm going to tell you something else. It's never changed, and people will say we're trying to refight the Civil War. No, we're not trying to fight it. They're fighting it, because in every situation that comes up, the South always gets hind-tip on the South. You know, we were being punished. The only, like Hermann Göring said it best. He said the only war crime was to lose the war. And the United States, James, is still punishing the South for that war today. They consider this flyover country. I'm going to tell you something else. There's more people have bled and died in the military in every stinking war there is from the South. And I'll tell you something else. We've always said this too, and this is so true. You never see an Army or Marine Corps recruiting station in an all-white Jewish neighborhood. You'll never seldom ever see one in the front line. I never saw one in a line outfit. They're usually black back in, payroll or quartermaster for some. But anyway, younger son here is wanting to chime in here on this.
Well, no, I was just wanting to, accentuate your point. And you're right. Southerners, by and large, because they are so patriotic, and that's not to say that their patriotism cannot be misguided, but because they are so patriotic and because they are so good, they are the ones, they are the best. That's why they sign up first. And that even predates Lincoln's War. The Alamo, that was fought by Southerners. Tennesseans specifically. People like Davy Crockett. That is a model American, Davy Crockett. Davy Crockett. There is not a single person in the military today that could hold a candle to Davy Crockett. And you're talking about that, and yet still the military hates the South. This country hates the South. The government hates the South. Eddie, in your neighborhood, now you are a Southerner. You fought 2 honorable discharges from the Army, from the American Army. You fought. You've earned the right, if anybody has, to speak your mind. You live in a neighborhood, a working-class neighborhood of Memphis. Around the corner from you, there is another white Southern heterosexual male, and we talked about this before because I've been to your house, and every time we drive past this person's house, you make a comment. He has American flags festooned across his porch. His sons are in the American military. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I guess you just can't blame him because he's probably watching all the football games tonight. They're totally unaware of what's going on. They're totally unaware of any true history. Pointing out the number one state in the union, the last I count, with the most veterans, the most per capita, is West Virginia, followed closely, I think, by Mississippi and Kentucky. But they're all Southern states. We have always been patriotic, but it's almost like the syndrome that when you're captured. Stockholm, there you go. We talked about that about a week ago. It's almost like the Stockholm syndrome, where you're kidnapped. The famous Patty Hearst girl, who was the heir to the Hearst newspaper fortune, she was captured supposedly by the SLA, the Seminese Liberal Action Army. Some people think that that was a set up deal. She was always part of it, but they said she started identifying with her captors, and she actually helped them pull off some bank robberies, if I'm not mistaken. You know, that's the way it is here in the South. We identify, our people identify with that flag. And, you know, if I had my way, I would drive it out of this country. I would drive the stinking United Nations out of this country. I'd get rid of that, burn that bank to the ground. We would start issuing our own money here in the South based on gold and silver like it should be. We would no longer be, you know, wage slaves to these scum-sucking parasite ticks who run this bank system in here. And they print all this money up out of nothing, James. They print out of thin air. The American people pay the taxes to buy the paper, buy the ink, to build the Treasury Department, to build the machines, to run it, to print the money. And guess what they do when they get through printing this money, when the American people, you and I and Sam and other people, when they get through paying the money to print that money, they haul it over to these Zionist banks and give them the money and say, here's the money. Now, what we're going to do when we get ready to need some tax money, we're going to borrow our money back from you and pay this exorbitant interest rate. When you pay income tax people, that's what your income tax, that's what you're paying for. You're only paying the interest on the loans that we get from these Zionist controlled banks.
That being said, happy Labor Day, everybody. Freddie the Bombardier Miller and Keith Alexander and the rest of the crew here in Memphis and Utah. I'm James Edwards. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Hey, donate next week. Help support our fundraising drive so we can bring you more rants from the Bombardier. God bless you, folks. We do love you. Talk to you next week.